You can go to the Word Radio Broadcast, a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Romans. We're in chapter 2. We trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word. Listen, that's ABCs. Do what you want. God gave you that right. Where the Spirit of the Lord, there's liberty. But if you don't go to church, you know in your mind you probably ought to. Okay? You just know that. And not because anybody's making you, but because your spirit knows that God has a purpose for the church, and it is for the edifying, building up of the saints. You see, you have complete freedom to choose. And sometimes you choose not to. And God's okay with that. He's bigger than that. But what you're doing, if you do choose in a poor way, is you impoverish yourself. And the longer you impoverish yourself, guess what? The more you run close on the needle on the empty tank, right? We've all been there. Missed that turn back there. Think there might be a gas station ahead. I haven't seen one in 20 minutes, and I was banging the needle just after I passed that last one. You know what I'm saying. The pressure gets mounting. And eventually, depending on how stubborn we are, right? How stubborn can I be? Am I going to turn around and go back? Or am I going to keep on moving and run the risk of running out of gas? The Bible says you condemn yourself because you do the same thing. You, the judge, do the same thing. He says, but we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. Now, when the word sure is mentioned, we are sure. It's really, in the Greek, it's the word we see. We clearly see. That's what he's saying. We see it. Why do we see it? Because he just wrote it all out in chapter 1. The judgment of God, they know it. Why? How do we know that? Because God has revealed it to them. They are without excuse. We don't need to tell them. God already did. God already is. We are sure of that. They don't need us to do the favor of heaping more condemnation on them for their behavior. You see, behavior is a fruit of a more insidious root. And the root is, they are born of Adam. They are born of Eve. And they have the same problem and same root you and I do. And we have to overcome it just like they have to overcome it. And the most gracious thing we can do is to turn our heads the other way when they're really being foolish. Not to make them feel like we saw it. Not to entertain their foolishness if they're trying to show off in their nonsense. But to be also not turning your head away with a smirk and with hatred. We're just trying to, it's like if somebody has an issue with their clothing and you're looking and also you just turn away. You just don't, you know, like a dress gets caught in a car door. You've seen it. I've actually had that happen before me. And I just turned away. I didn't want to embarrass the lady. You see my point? You just turn away graciously. You don't bring any rolling of the eyes or heart. You know, let your heart utter things that you'd be ashamed were said out loud. We have to recognize we're here to help those who don't know how to help themselves. We are sure. We see that the judgment of God is according to truth. The word truth is the word aletheia. It comes from a compound word that literally means to not be hidden. To not be hidden. Okay, it's got an alpha at the beginning, negating the word lanthano, which means to hide. It's not hidden. Truth is something that's not hidden. And the Bible says in our passage that we know that God's judgment is according to truth. God has made it known that there's some things that are wrong. And it says, and it's according to truth against, literally, listen, the Greek word for against is the word upon. It's epi. In other words, they have the pressure you are aware of. They just don't recognize what it is. You see, when you feel the pressure of the Lord, remember David said, your hand was heavy upon me? Your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality dried up. God's hands on everybody when they sin. That's called a conscience. Conscience means to know with. The problem is they don't know God's the one that's pressuring them after a while. At first, when you're a little child, you know you did wrong, you feel bad and ashamed. After a while, you stop blushing and you're not ashamed anymore. But that doesn't mean you still don't know what you're doing is pushing some envelopes that are not good. They know. It's part of the reason we know that they know is because the Bible says we are sure. This is a perfect active indicative. In other words, we are sure it's happened and is happening actively. It's perfectly done. God's got this. God can do the condemning. He can bring the pressure. And He can do it just right. You and I can't do it right. We can't bring the pressure. The Bible says we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth upon them that commit such things. So let's let all that go, is what he's saying. He says in verse 3, he says, "And do you think thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God?" It's funny because he says you're doing the same thing. He might not be talking about they're doing the exact same acts, but they're acting just like they're acting in the sense that they're following a different God. They've changed the likeness of the immutable God, the gracious God, the good God. They're following Him, but they've changed His image, and now they're not following Him anymore. Now they're doing the devil's work. You ever heard somebody say, "Oh, they do the devil's work"? You want to know what the devil's work? It's to destroy people. If you say something that destroys somebody in condemnation, you just help the devil out in his efforts. Spouses need to be mindful. We don't want to say things to each other that will just devastate, because you know each other better than anybody. If you say something overly harsh, it can crush their spirit. So you have to come alongside sometimes. You have to be very gracious, especially there. And I believe the petri dish of the home is where we learn how to be gracious. But it does say, do you think you're going to escape the judgment of God? What he's saying is, those of you, like in verse 1, he says, thou that does do this, whosoever you are, he's saying, you know, you might need to go back and check your cross. Are you truly a born-again child of God? Because there's people in churches that are not saved, you realize, right? That just happens. They're good people. They were told as a child to go to church, so they went to church. And it just never got from the head down to the heart, and they're just not saved. But some people are in church because of other reasons we won't go into. But they're in church. And he says, do you think you can be like that routinely and chronically? Is there no blip on the scale? Is there no red light on the dash of your life saying, I probably shouldn't say anything or do anything like that? I shouldn't be hateful? Now, they'll say you're hateful even if you're not. So don't let them be the judge of that. You have to ask yourself if you are being hateful. Because to love somebody is to warn somebody. But to warn somebody is also to gain the rapport to do the warning. Because if they don't know you, some things you say might not be as helpful. You have to gain that hearing. And that takes a little bit of grace in the more extreme cases sometimes. The Bible says in verse 4, or do you despise the riches of His goodness and forbearance and long-suffering? Do you despise that? Not knowing? That's a good word. He says, not knowing the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? How'd you get saved? Didn't you get saved because you knew God was good? Didn't you get saved because you knew His goodness? You know, these words are all powerful. The word goodness here is a very interesting word. It's not just that He's good. It's that He's perfectly suited to what the need is in our lives. He's not just good. He's the perfect entity to make us work, okay, like we're supposed to. We know Him. It's the same word that Bible says in Matthew chapter 11, verse 30, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The word easy means serviceable. It fits just right. My yoke is what you need to be in. Luke 5:35, it says, no man also having drunk old wine straightway desireth the new, for he saith the old is better. You know what they're saying? It's not saying it's better in quality or taste or anything. It's just it's serviceable. It works. That makes a difference on that verse, doesn't it, for you? The old wine is better. No, he's not saying this will get you high, this will get you drunk, whatever. He's saying it's just what I'm used to. But the moment you drink some of the new wine, which is what Jesus brought, the new wine of righteousness and holiness and goodness and peace and all gentleness, he's saying that's what they say. They say the old wine's better. They're not ready to hear it yet. But once they do hear it, they will be blessed beyond measure. Luke 6:35, it says, but love your enemies. I find this interesting, this word is here. Luke 6:35, it says, but love ye your enemies, and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing back again, and your reward shall be great, and you shall be the children of the highest. Listen to this, for He is, here's the word, He is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Isn't that good? He's nice to them. He's serviceable to them. And we, when we're doing the same thing that He would do in our shoes, lending and not worrying about getting it back, right? I had a guy at work. He had no money for lunch. He did that a lot because he spent all his money. I gave him $5 and he never paid me back. And I didn't say anything because, you know, I didn't expect it back. But I'll tell you what happened is about a year later, I worked with him again. And he felt so guilty. He got up, he said, "Oh, I just want to give you that." And he didn't want to give me that, but it was because of who I was that he wanted to give me that, because he knew that this guy was a preacher. And he felt the pressure. How did he do that? Because he still had a conscience. Was that good or bad? I mean, I don't mind. $5, $5, no big deal. But the pressure. And if we're like God, God brings the pressure on people. If they hit in a pickle and they know they got a close one, boy, there's a blood test coming back and they're worried they might find something because they've been misbehaving in a certain way. Well, then what they're going to do is they're going to pray a little bit. And then they get a good one, clean, clear, good. Okay, I'm good. But that's what God does. He knows exactly what buttons to push and brings that along. And in Ephesians 4:32 it says, "And be ye kind one to another." So it's not about being good or kind as much as it is about being serviceable. How can we help one another? What can we do? Be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. That's just the word goodness. That word is rich. Goodness of God leads you to repentance. The next word is long-suffering. You can look at the Old Testament. He didn't wipe them out when he could have. Every time, "Stand back, Moses, I'm going to wipe them out." I'll raise up. No, you know this. You're Jewish. You know your Bible. Okay, he was long-suffering. And then there's that other word, forbearance, which has the idea of self-restraint. You see, God is very forbearing. People misunderstand His forbearance, don't they? The Bible says, "Or do you despise the riches of His goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads to repentance?" See, this word is a good one for you and I to remember, because He's saying you would be where they are if it wasn't for God's grace shed on your life. If you had a parent that was a saved person that showed you Jesus, if you didn't, and how did you find him? Was it a grandparent, as in my case? I'm telling you guys, we have been blessed in spite of ourselves, because there was no reason for him to. And his self-restraint gave us time to collect ourselves and figure out what we were dealing with. And we began to realize people were going to let us down. And we needed to realize that only God in heaven could meet our needs. Verse 5 says, "But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasurest thou up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and the revelation of the righteous judgment of God." In other words, what he's saying is he's saying you've got a calloused heart. That's what the hardness word is. You have a calloused heart, and that calloused heart that you're allowing to go unchecked demonstrates that you might not be saved. You say, "Well, why would you throw that gargoyle in there?" Because God does. He says, if you don't add to your faith virtue, virtue, knowledge, knowledge, self-control, and on up to love, if you don't get to the place where you're really loving people, what does he say? "You will become short-sighted unto blindness, forgetting you were washed from your sins." There is a question mark over somebody who has no qualms, no scruples about being unloving when they're being reminded. You're inexcusable. There's no excuse for it. You have no apologetic. You can't get up and give a defense. He's saying it's because of your hardness if you're in that disposition and your impenitent heart. The word is unrepentant in the sense of you will not change your mind. You will not change your mind. That's a choice. The Bible says, "He that is born of God does not go on sinning." That's what it says. It says, "does not sin," but it's present active indicative. It means you're not going to go on sinning. You're not going to go on and on and on. There's a point where you get down in your face and you say, "God, I'm sorry. I need to get my mind right. I need to get my eyes right. I got to clean up my heart because I don't want to look at those people with unlove." The Bible says that you store up wrath against the day. The word "against" in the Greek is the word "in the day." You're in it now. You're in the day of wrath. God's wrath is on people right now. Did you know? The Bible says, "He that hath the Son has life, and he that does not have the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides upon him." Did you know the Bible says in the book of Proverbs that even the plowing of the wicked is sin? That he's doing his job, he's taking care of his family. That's sin, because every day he goes on without Jesus in his life.
Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio, and I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies, and we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.